Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Again, my name is Jason Martin, and I'm the Director of Strategy and Policy for Distributed Energy Technologies here in South Carolina for Duke Energy.
Wow, that's quite the title.
It is. It
barely fits. We call him the solar guy.
Yeah, I can see
on a card. I think we tried to use every letter in the alphabet.
I think you about succeeded on that one. Well, and doing the research on the story, it sounds like you've done a great job doing a little bit of background on Duke and your efforts with solar. I've noticed that you've ranked very well fourth, in fact, in connecting solar to the grid. That's got to be a proud number for you, right? I mean,
for South Carolina, we started the effort about 6 years ago, 2013, 2014 timeframe, with Act 236. And the effort at that time was to identify that solar was a up-and-coming technology that we felt like our customers would be adopting and would become part of the utility system in time, you know, over the years that would come forward. So as we began with that legislation, we set in place an opportunity to develop solar in the rooftop scale, the small version that goes with residential applications, and then growing it up to also what we refer to as utility scale, which is several megawatts to tens of megawatts types of projects that would connect directly to our system and sell power directly to the utility. And that effort began with not knowing exactly how we would accomplish all this, but we set in place some mechanisms to allow us to provide some incentive and opportunity to develop where these projects may go. So that we would see the net metering develop enough to where we could learn from it, and then also see the utility scale, larger projects come online to help with that as well. As we move to today and the legislation that we've worked on most recently, Act 236 actually went very well for South Carolina. We moved through our goals quickly, especially in the Carolinas footprint. Duke Energy Carolinas is a long 85 in the upstate here, mm-hmm. and we were able to meet one of our goals last year in July of 80 megawatts of rooftop solar applications that were on our system. And the new legislation is going to allow us to continue that effort, and customers can again apply and receive the value of rooftop solar if they want to put that on their house in concert with working with utility.
Now, has there been any pushback against Act 236 at all, or is it pretty much moving well through the House and Senate and the various chambers?
Clarify.
I will. Act 236 was enacted back in 2014.
You're just trying to expand it further.
That's correct. And gotcha. Act 62, which has been the most recent effort, was signed by the governor in May, on May 16th, actually. And it has allowed us to continue the net metering offering. And it's been a very collaborative effort. The utilities, the solar interests, the environmental interests have all worked very well together to drive out what we need for the state in the next step. Act 236 was sort of a kickoff point for solar. Act 62 is continuing to move the projects and the effort forward in the state, and the culmination of Act 62 will also set forth the pace of solar for the state to go forward. So, providing some guardrails and guidance and direction for how we'll adopt solar overall for years to come.
And can you just give me an idea as far as legislation goes? Why do you even need legislation? Is this because you need a land rights issue for the panels? Why do you even need to get the government in on this? It seems like it's a free enterprise idea wanting to put solar powers in panels into their system. Why does the government have to be involved?
Well, like any effort that takes place when you have a regulated body such as a utility involved,
very true. You were right.
The government oversees our responsibilities. And the legislative effort also provides the commission with direction on how to enact policy. So as the state has adopted a policy of solar development for energy options for our consumers, the legislature just needed to take some steps to push that information towards the commission and for the commission to act on it and the utilities to respond with some of the there's some tariff and some regulatory responsibilities that come through that.
And that's kind of a dumb question after I realized because you guys are regulated and they've got your finger in your pie. I'm very, very sure of it. So.
Yeah, they're very close to us.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, that's very good, man. So you're a very passionate person and getting this pushed through. I'll go ahead and ask you now, do you think that solar is going to be the future of renewable energy and all this effort's going to pay off down the road later on?
As I mentioned, with Act 236, we were working towards understanding kind of how we can adopt solar energy specifically and renewable projects in general for the utility. You know, how do we bring these resources on? They will be an integral part to what we see in the energy future. However, solar has some intermittent operation, obviously doesn't operate in the evenings at night when the sun goes down, and also cloudy, rainy days, its output may not be as strong as it would otherwise on a sunny day. So it'll be an integral part to what we're doing as a utility to fulfill our customer demands.
Well, you've done very, very well, because like I was saying a little earlier on the background, I mean, you're number four, and as far as connecting people to their systems to the grid, that's got to be a big number for you. I mean, all the regulation headache alone has got to be something, but it's a big accomplishment for you.
It is. When you compare to the other states that are adopting solar, we've come along pretty well as a utility. That statistic does cover both what we've seen in North and South Carolina, because both of our utilities, Duke Energy Carolinas and Duke Energy Progress, serves both states. And we've seen a majority of the growth in North Carolina, but we have 140 megawatts of solar capacity connected here in South Carolina. Another 280 or so in process of being connected in the next year or so. And this works in well with how we've been working through managing our clean power requirements and working through what we can do to improve our emissions challenges that we have from our different plants. And so solar is certainly an integral part of that. Here in South Carolina, we've actually removed all of our coal-fired facilities for Duke Energy. We just have some natural gas plants and nuclear carrying the load that we're generating today.
Right, that's incredible as well. And what's also incredible is the number of rollouts, top 10 for the seventh straight year. What goes into being able to pull that off? How many customers are we talking about there?
Well, here in South Carolina, we've got over 7,000 customers that are in the net metering capacity that have elected to put solar at their homes. Mm-hmm. And so we have a team of folks that are dedicated to it, our Renewable Service Center, to helping to process the request and coordinate with those customers as they bring the solar facilities online.
Gotcha.
I'm going to just jump in real quick.
Please.
I would like, there's a statistic I want to make sure he gets out there in that comment. If you could restate that, starting where we were in 2014 and where we are now, that really shows the growth of solar. So.
That, very good. Thanks, Ryan, for that reminder. When we started out with Act 236, Patrick, in 2014, we had about 100 net metering customers in the state, Duke Energy.
Right.
Serving.
Right.
And so today we've surpassed 7,000 in that time frame.
And can you give me just a rough idea of how much energy has been generated using solar?
That's an interesting calculation.
The answer to your question is no.
No, gotcha. not exactly. No. That's a tough one to capture, just a full value on the energy side of it.
And let's talk
from a performance standpoint.
I understand that, and I'm sure there's no possible way. I just thought I'd throw that out there. And now Duke Energy will buy back unused solar power from consumers. Can you tell me a little bit about how net metering works for the average person?
Oh, absolutely. The customer puts the array on and it's interconnected, so it's running in parallel and along with our system, so it's actively connected, just like you'd plug an appliance. And whenever the customer's load requires the energy and the solar power is available, then it will supply that capacity to the customer's load for air conditioning, lights, whatever's in the home. In the event that the customer's requirements are below the capacity of the generator, at that time the generator will provide power back to the utility system through the service that goes to the house. Electricity travels at the speed of light, so it's pretty much as the load responds to the customer's needs, the generator will push back to the utility at that time. And we, of course, pay the customer for that energy, so they're allowed to get value for it as they generate it when it comes back to the utility itself.
And you just basically disperse that back out to the grid.
Correct. It travels to wherever the load needs are.
Now, let me ask you this about solar. From my understanding, I've done a brief interview a while back about solar, and from what someone told me, the biggest problem they're having right now with solar is the battery power and being able to store what's being taken in by the arrays. Is that still the biggest problem for solar right now?
It would be one of the components. When we did the work with Act 236, we agreed to pay a value that really did not incent a battery storage system. Effectively, we're paying the customer whatever their retail rate is for that power. So the need for a battery is not quite as necessary, and the value for it is not there. Now, as we go forward, we're supposed to contemplate a new tariff that will provide some type of value that battery storage may become more prevalent. And we do expect that there's a number of customers who prefer to have it just as a backup.
Right.
So instead of just having the solar array, you know, if there was an extended outage to operate during the day, they may want to have a battery to allow them to either capture all of the solar so it doesn't come back to the utility, or have it as a provision for emergency power if necessary.
Well, let's
Patrick,
say,
the situation with batteries is the technology is advancing, but it's been slow. The cost has been high, but it's decreasing.
Correct.
And so, and this, we're talking both at the residential level and at the utility level. So the future for batteries is great, but it's going to take some time to get there to where they're incorporated as fully as other types of generation.
Sure.
Or other
storage
types
methods.
Of technologies are into the system.
Very right. Good, because that's always my big thing, is like, well, how are you going to store the power? Because I know batteries are very expensive, especially lithium-ion stuff now. And I read an article, too, not too long ago, about the new battery technologies and whatnot, and they're getting there, but it ain't cheap.
That's right.
And let me ask you this. Are states still providing any kind of solar rebates, or have those kind of run their course through the states as far as offering credits?
It's been declining recently, but our neighboring state, North Carolina, right now is still offering some limited rebates with their new legislation that was enacted. So there are some locations that are still possible to get a rebate for some of the work.
And just to piggyback on that, you know, as part of Act 236, that allowed us to offer solar rebates to customers here in South Carolina. And so beginning in 2015, that program was very successful. And that's part of, when you look at the numbers Jason talked about earlier, going from 100 rooftop solar installations to 7,000 over the course of a few years, that solar rebate was a big part of that, as well as declining solar costs.
Right.
But we paid out more than, or almost $60 million to South Carolina customers, rooftop and utility, commercial customers, industrial customers, and some other business customers. So it was extremely successful. It did run its course. We're not looking at another offering anytime soon in South Carolina, but like
gotcha.
Jason said, the North Carolina offering is ongoing. Similar, but not quite the same, but we're seeing great success up there as well.
Is solar technology going to be the new version of the coal fire plant, meaning is there going to get to a point where solar and renewables will replace the fossil fuel burning plant? I mean, I know that you can't ever replace one of those big boys with a wind turbine, for crying out loud, but are you going to be able to at least, I don't know, at some point integrate that more into the system so it requires less of things that burn things, if that makes sense?
Well, you know, our challenge, Patrick, is always responding to our customer demands, and generally speaking, we're providing 24/7 power to our customers. So I don't think that the solar plus battery will replace everything that we have operating on the system. Our nuclear fleet will still be necessary for base load operation. We have been adjusting our coal fleet and replacing that with natural gas, which has certainly reduced a lot of the environmental emissions, carbon specifically, for operating for our customers. And we think that the advent of solar renewable energy is going to be part of our future. It'll integrate well. It'll also, along with the battery storage, it will also be responsive to our customer demands on how we can manage that. Our utility storage components will be one of those factors as well, because that may very well allow us to manage the system a little bit more with more flexibility. And just as example, we've put in place Bad Creek, a pump storage technology several years ago here in the upstate that's allowed us to utilize utilize the in-between requirements of customer demands with the other resources we have presently today. And solar is being included in that as we see it grow in the system.
So it's a giant balancing act for you then.
Very much so.
So is it cheaper for you guys factoring cost and equipment, maintenance, and transportation to build these giant solar arrays or a typical power plant? Because, I mean, I know this solar stuff's got to be very expensive.
Well, let me take that one real quick.
Yeah.
Just, it's not apples to apples.
Okay.
So what Jason said earlier is very important. You know, the sun doesn't shine all the time, and so those solar installations aren't always making power and putting it on the grid.
Gotcha.
Or in the homes being used. So it's necessary to balance and have a generation mix that makes sure that customers' the price of electricity is affordable for customers. It's always there. It's reliable. And, you know, we also are cognizant of making sure that we're keeping that carbon footprint in mind as well. So, you know, as we move forward, will solar be an increasing part of the overall pie? Absolutely. But we will still need our baseload nuclear plants that have been burning emission-free for years and help us have those great environmental statistics. We'll need to take advantage of low-cost natural gas with highly efficient technologies. We'll also have to make sure that our hydro plants that dot the upstate with our lakes at Jocassee and Kiawee and the Bad Creek Reservoir continue to operate. All of those are part of the generation mix moving forward and will help us to, you know, build that 21st century powerhouse of an economy that South Carolina needs.
Yeah, and because of that economy, it's also increasing power needs as well. And I'm sure you guys are always having to look for the next thing you're going to do to keep the lights on. That's, you know, we run 500,000 watt radio stations out of this building, and I can just see that thing spin. It's insane.
Yeah, if y'all need to add one, please do.
We actually are in the process of at WROQ in Simpsonville. As a matter of fact, I'm putting putting a new transmitter in, and they had to rework a whole bunch of stuff. Anyway, it was a disaster. Let's talk about the downside of solar, and I'm sure there's been some obstacles that you've had to overcome to make it viable for you. Tell me a little bit about your strife with solar.
I think the challenge that we face is just learning how to integrate it to our system. It's a different type of source, obviously. We talked about intermittency before.
Right.
And then, generally speaking, we build our system to deliver power out to our customers. So we generate it at a central plant, distribute it out to our customers for their homes and businesses. And so when we have a resource, a generator, operating on the system, we have a responsibility to make sure that we keep the power operating in a safe manner and a reliable manner across our system. And so just making sure we have that coordinated properly is probably the biggest challenge. It's just a different way to run our system, and we needed the time, and Act 236 was kind of the beginning of that for us in South Carolina, to figure out how do we do that? How do we integrate these resources and operate them safely for our system?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.